Us.
Wow, a big comedy festival. Us, and sa. We have a wonderful guest, a return guest, all the way here from the bright lights. Billy Darcy, how are you, brother?
Boys, good to be here. Good to be on like a Melbourne sports pod, but I know you guys have East Coast roots in Queensland.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't feel too out of my depth. But I'm still getting the Melbourne credit.
Yeah, you're at home here, mate.
Man, the best of both worlds here. And we are not in the studio. We're doing a quick... Zach has been crooked, so we're doing a little last-minute one at the Cooper's Inn in the spiritual home, you argue, where it all began.
Huge fortress vibes here.
Oh, yeah. I like to play a home ground.
8-0 to start the season at the Cooper's Inn.
Yeah. It's proper lockdown defense around here, mate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's good being in the Cooper's room, I reckon. It adds like a spiritual touch to like you can feel the energy from, you know, many a bomb, many a kill, many a show right here.
Many a situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. This corner that we're actually in, really, this is where like the sort of the drunkest people are every show.
Usually they're attracted to the neon sign.
Yeah.
Like bugs.
Has there been any shows in this top room that have got out of hand, like club shows?
Nothing crazy, I don't think, club shows wise. I mean, there's a few of the late shows during festas. We had a few where a lady like really kicked up a stink during an in conversation with Huey and Taunts, said we were being homophobic.
Oh, I remember that. That was great.
And then she tried to like hook up with Taunts after. He's like, no.
Yeah.
Treating him mean to keep him
safe. Yeah. It's not about canceling him to get him.
That's straight out of the 2017 playbook.
Yeah.
Call a bloke homophobic and then take it back immediately.
Yeah. So fingers crossed home to many more memories, especially this Saturday. Come on down. April 6th, there's still tickets available. Just fucking get in here, guys. It's going to be a laugh riot.
It's going to be unreal.
It's going to be awesome.
I feel like the plugs a couple of weeks ago for this live show would have had more zest than what you're giving
now. This is a different sort of plug. This is like, okay, everyone's like, I'm coming. It's like, well, prove it, yeah? Maybe fucking, you know, nothing wrong with not buying at the door, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with showing a bit of initiative.
You want to let people know that it has sold well while still having some tickets remaining.
Oh, yeah. That's a great line to run.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, 4/5 full is the vibe you want at all times.
Oh, that would be real.
Yeah, you just need a few more to cross the line. That's it.
Yeah, but either way, going to be exciting. You know?
Absolutely. The stars from around the festival.
And we're in the perfect amount of tickets where you can't really cancel now. So, you know, it's a real great spot.
The point of no return, I believe they call that on the East Coast.
I have just come up with like a backup plan to like if the numbers for some reason, you know, there's a natural disaster or something and the numbers are low.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like a different kind of seating arrangement. Like we could open up some kind of pit. We could make the most of the space if we're provided.
Look, we could do that, but I got a show after, and I don't want to make too much work for myself.
70 people waiting to get into the live show, and this is just a fucking pit of
Luke Kitchell sold out straight after. It's like, hey mate, just 1 second. We just got to clean up the jello pit.
Just 12 chairs in a circle on the top floor. Just sort of a book club vibe for the live feeder, bro.
We've got a campfire on a laptop.
Mate, is this the sort of podcast with the culture you guys have fostered here, which I would like to commend you on?
Yes.
Is this the sort of podcast where blokes are sending you like tips for bets? Do we get a bit of that?
Oh,
do we get like rugby league same gamers going?
Nah, we don't, because we don't crunch the numbers too much. Like we don't really talk like the X's and O's of sport. We talk like more about
the vibes.
Vibe heavy.
A lot
of
same game multis are vibes based.
That's true. Yeah,
you know, you see a bloke got a haircut during the week, looking a little faster.
We get
a lot of different types of fellas sent to us. That's for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
We're getting some really good ones. But yeah, with your podcast, Bill, are you getting many fellas?
No, see, send you? I try to provide tips on my podcast.
Oh, great!
So I get a lot of people who are just looking for me to fail.
Mm.
Do you know, like a lot of messages when, because I do UFC tips as well, and so, you know, it's one thing if you say get on the Broncos and they lose 24-12. Yep. It's another thing if the blokes stretch it out of the building.
Yeah, 100%.
Just the optics on the wrong decision you've made.
Yeah. It's very brutal like UFC. Obviously, the sport's very brutal, but the fans are the most brutal. Like they don't like they don't give a fuck.
Oh, dude, UFC fans are horrific. Like they love the sport while also having no empathy for the people who partake.
Yeah, 100%.
They're like, this is the most brutal sport on the planet, and only dumb cunts do it, mate. From what I can tell.
Yeah, and you fucking idiot. Sock at it, you idiot.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's really nice. That's good. There are a few big fights this weekend, weren't there?
I saw Timmy Zhu
got his head split open.
Yeah, by a fucking 8-foot lightweight. Where'd they find that guy? They pulled him off the rack and they were like, hey, get out there.
It looked like Tim Zhu fighting his stepdad. Yeah. That was the vibe on the face-off. He was just one of these Skeletor guys.
He's got like a perfect baby face though. Like it's like a big skeleton with like a toddler's face on the top of it.
It was cute though, but it's like, yeah, poor Timmy Zhu's not even off the stool and this guy's go-go gadget arm is coming across the ring. You can't get near him. Yeah. So, yeah, poor Timmy Zhu. But I'm not that into boxing, actually. I'm more of a MMA guy.
Yeah.
I tried to get into boxing, but sometimes it just sucks, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, it can be tough.
And it goes for fucking ages.
And you don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
You can think, oh, this guy is winning, but then at the end, like, oh, the other guy won.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, yeah. And you ask someone who knows about boxing, and they're like, yeah, that's just how boxing works, man. You're like, oh, cool.
It's kind of more like fencing at times.
Yeah.
But
now fencing...
In that I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Fencing, we should probably... I think it needs a resurgence. Yeah. But maybe they do a UFC type version of fencing where they take all the stuff off and you just are picking like medieval weapons and it's a literal fight to the death again.
Or like a cow prod kind of situation. Oh, so yeah. It's like that could be fun. With a little That's good. On the end.
Well, lads, it's an Olympic year. So if you want to get into something for 6 weeks, now's the time. Make the bid. Dude, I got so into the canoe slalom during 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Jess Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, there's a girl, good on her. She's done incredibly well. One of those real Aussie heroes that it's like, all right, it's kind of like the Toy Story thing where it's like, I don't want to play with you anymore. But but then you get the toys back out. It's
every
like,
4 years.
We got a gold medalist over here.
Yeah.
Dude, what is she doing? Rolling around in some man-made rapids or something? Yeah, get her out of here.
Yeah, like, what is the canoe slalom?
It's like the man-made rapids. Like, okay. I can only assume your parents have to be multimillionaires to even do it once in your life, let alone... pursue it as a profession.
Yep, yep.
But it's so true. I always make the mistake of following them on Instagram because I get too hyped up during the Olympics. And then like 2 months later, it comes up. She's like, great night supporting the Weet-Bix Gala. I'm like, who the fuck is this chick? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But is it one of those sports that, it seems like one of those sports that's like every 4 years, everyone gets into it. But everyone who like is an athlete in that sport is just a really good athlete from some other sport.
Yeah,
that happens a lot in the Winter Olympics. And
there's a bit of that like AIS stuff. They just find a few genetic freaks and they're like, now, mate, have you ever thought about European handball?
Yeah, like exactly. They just cobble
some
together.
Some Skeletor like Sim Zuvort. It's like, mate, have a go whacking this beach volleyball around. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I bet as well it's kind of like at the AIS, you know, it's an Olympic year or whatever. It's kind of like the school trip when like, you know, history and like geography are going to go to fucking... Coffs Harbour next year and you they'd be looking going like what spots have we got going to Paris? I'll do literally anything, you know.
Yeah.
And you'd be boys with everyone and they're all super athletes, so maybe blokes are just jumping on the canoes at a moment's notice.
Yeah, whatever's left. Yeah.
And also it's not like anyone else is trying out. Most of us have never even heard of these sports.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay your 150 rego. Off you go.
Yeah. I had a guy from our school and he was a really good high jumper and he ended up, I think, going to the Olympics for volleyball or something like that.
Yeah.
But just a big limmy fella.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, yeah, good on you. You just see like you know when you're like Facebook friends from school and you're always like, oh wait, what is this shit? And it'll be like, oh, the, you know, they're always called like the Grand Prix. They're always in some European leagues or something throughout the year.
Yeah, the Diamond Leagues.
Yeah, the Diamond Leagues.
Ran third of the Diamond Leagues.
Yeah, the Indoor Diamond League. It's like, what?
When I see the Indoor Diamond League, I always just think, who the fuck's paying for this?
Yeah.
The only people watching on the telly are friends and family of the athletes themselves.
Yeah, maybe they had a fundraiser or something.
Do you know what I mean? I sold 22 tickets on Sunday night. I'm not on Fox 3.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, well, maybe they had a really good fundraising campaign. Did a few barbecues.
Yeah.
Paid for the nets.
Yeah. Everything in my mind like that is like, oh, it must be big in Europe. And it's like, they can't be that much big in Europe. They don't have that big of an economy.
Yeah, it seems like everything's big in Europe. Like, there's a European country where one of them will just froth on anything.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lithuanians are specialists in the indoor
track
events. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Dude, I feel like every time, like, the Olympic athletes are like, we need more money. And then we start really having a look at how much money it costs to send these people to the Olympics. And it's like, I don't think you want us thinking about this any more than we already are.
Yeah.
This is already such a blatant, just like complete misuse of government funds.
Well, there's been an update on the enhanced games. Have you heard about
any of this? I have heard about this, yeah.
Yeah.
Hit me, Zach.
Well, I thought it was a big, like, at first, I think like everyone did, I thought, oh, it's a big joke, you know, they're all just going to be...
Kind of Squid Games vibes. I heard some mysterious billionaire was behind it.
Yeah. But I heard an interview with him recently, and it's all like, it's all very like head screwed on. Like he's kind of like railing against the IOC, like the Olympic Committee, because they're like a corrupt organization.
Mm.
And he's basically, his point is like, instead of drug testing, they want a health test. So they can use whatever drugs they want as long as they come in healthy. And not like fucking with crazy levels of whatever.
Well, he wants to say that because there's a very good chance if he let it rip, there'd be like 8 deaths during the game. Just got Sardic pops on the track.
Yeah, blokes but just, that's the just whole doing last minute top ups before the race. Yeah. You know, just get this in your ass.
Yeah. But that's the whole point. It's like they're already all doing steroids. Let's just let them and make sure they don't fucking kill themselves.
Well, they should go all in and sort of... have it like a regional greyhound track where they've just got them bustling around in cages. and the country's doctors are like injecting them up the ass.
Poking them with chocolate and
rattling
the cages.
Come on.
Yeah, we'll get this cunt over this fucking pole.
Yeah, dude, all the swimmers are in like a tuna farm off the coast somewhere. They're just like throwing like heads of fish in there. It's just a
chumming
frenzy.
It up.
Chumming up the waters to get the missile Magnuson fired up for his race.
Yeah.
I think the problem with this is I think there's a pretty good chance that we're watching James Magnuson on steroids and still thinking, fuck, swimming's pretty average.
Oh, man, gosh. It'd be rough to not break a few records. If you're like doing all the chat, I'm roided to the gills and they're like, still can't be that era where they had those fucking painted on suits, huh?
Yeah.
They need to bring the super suits in as well.
Yeah. Well, let's
they
went spray them on this time.
Also, they had the painted on ones, and then they went the opposite way where they were like small boats, the suits.
Yeah.
And they were like pretty much out of the water completely.
Yeah. Just sitting on top.
You see the bloke in lane 8, he's running on the surface. Like,
he's skimming across like a skimboard.
Yeah, it would be awesome. You see the underwater shot and there's just there's like a film. Yeah. Like water can't touch him. It's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's... And how are you enjoying your comedy festival run so far, Bill? You are here in the Cooper's Inn.
Man, I'm in the Cooper's Inn. Love the Cooper's Inn. Oh, suits my crowd. You know, blokes. And it's been good, man. It's been really good. My new show is pretty cool, I reckon. And it's been pretty vibey, yeah. I'm trying to think of some negatives or positives that I could touch on, maybe. Could I just say the service I'm receiving from the Cooper's Inn comedy team has been nothing short of top shelf.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yes, that's good.
Wow, that's good. You get looked after here. It was a big Saturday actually. There was a big crew in. So sort of the stars of stage and screen.
Yeah, that's kind of a big radio. Yeah.
I will say, and I'm not making this up for the sake of this podcast. A bit of a vibe around the Coopers this year.
Yes.
TV stars, radio stars.
Yeah.
You know, Crookshanks hanging around a bit more. It's good.
Carrie Bickmore has never suited a place more than the Coopers in, in a beautiful gold dress. You're like, sure.
I loved it.
Not sticking out like a sore thumb. I loved it.
And also, Tommy Little wasn't even on the Late Show.
No.
I thought he was coming here to perform a spot. Obviously, a man in that tax bracket would have an entourage.
Yeah.
But he was just coming for the hang, which I think speaks even more to the quality of the venue.
Yes.
No reason to be here.
Yeah, get down here for some star spotting, guys.
Yeah.
And see a show, I guess.
See a show if you want, but more keep an eye out.
Yeah. Bring your autograph book.
100%.
That would be a pretty quick way to make sure no one ever wants to hang out again.
An autograph book.
Now, that's a type of fella. You know,
memorabilia.
Maybe they've fallen away. Yeah, memorabilia guys, autograph hunters.
Yeah.
There's a guy that, because he sent a letter here for Luca once. It's quite sweet, but have you had this guy?
No, I remember the Luca one, though.
So he wants, like, people's signatures. And I think, does he send him a photo? Maybe not a photo, but it's like, please sign this and send it back to me at this address.
Yeah, he's got it all enclosed.
Autographs, yeah.
Yeah, and it, It sounds a little bit nefarious when you spell it out like that. But I guess
it's quite sweet. I guess there's no pictures involved. That's probably for the best. It's not like, oh, I just love collecting like imprints of feet. So if you could just use this black ink and just step on the letter and send it back.
So I'm a huge fan. Can I just get a used sock and I'll be out of your hair?
Or a flake of skin or whatever you got.
Do you think cameras killed the signature? Because it was when I was a kid, it was more likely that you had a pen on you than an iPhone 47. You didn't even have a fucking phone.
That's true.
And the phones that you did have when I was in like year seven, photos are unusable anyway. Plus that phone's died, it's trapped on there forever. There's no cloud.
Yeah, it's gone.
I reckon the signature's long gone.
It's tough. I think so. The selfie is king now if you see someone.
So much better.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, if you want, you can, while you're doing the selfie, you can just little sniff if that's what you're into.
Well, it is a very good excuse to get as close as possible to
100%
to the NRL player of your choice.
Yeah. Do a little hover hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, only straight guys ask me for photos and I still hover hand them out of respect.
Well, for many reasons.
For many reasons, yeah. I'm just practicing.
These fans of mine.
Hygiene.
Yeah, these fans of mine. It's an assault on all the senses. Being around these.
I'm just practicing the hover hand just in case a woman ever does want a photo with me.
Yeah, it's good to
I'll be ready
there.
To go.
Yeah, yeah. Good to get in the rhythm.
You don't just walk out to open the batting in the Ashes.
You've got to get your reps in.
You've got to go to the nets.
Yeah, you can't be going in cold on your first overhand. Yeah, terrifying.
Exactly.
Just getting the perfect sort of 2-inch cordon. Like trying to figure it out so it doesn't look insane on the photo, but you've still got a bit of wiggle room.
You know.
So you got to,
you know.
Kind of like the super suit era. You want that sort of thin film of air between.
The hoverhand is all about wiggle room.
Yeah.
So like you need room to shake.
Yeah.
So you're not touching them, you know.
Big time. I don't know. Speaking of blokes, I did think of a type of bloke that I might bring up.
That's
and I'm sorry this has been brought up on previous episodes. But
oh, that's never stopped us.
No. There's always fresh angles, mate.
Yeah. What about gadget blokes?
Oh, that's a great one.
Tinkerers.
But also like drone guys.
You know, update the iPhone every year.
All the toys.
All the toys.
Yeah,
boys are their toys.
Yeah, a guy with a garage full of toys is good. Yeah, that's sort of...
Maybe those race cars, you take up the oval, those things?
Yeah. The little petrol ones. Yep. They've probably got great electric ones these days as well.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, there's always, I feel like it's I mean, now you're in it. You're in it with the same age as the guys, boys with their toys. But I always feel like I had like a family friend or an uncle where you'd be like, whoa, the first guy to have a plasma TV and then the first one to have a drone.
Yeah. Hi-fi uncle.
And dad's like, bloody hell. And you can tell he's like, oh, shit. Can't get this shit. Now the kids have seen it.
Yeah.
100%.
Mum's like, you know, and then in the car home, your mum would be like, God, he wastes money on crap.
You can tell he doesn't have kids, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, try to talk dad about it. Like, well, if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
That's so funny because, when you're a parent, especially before the internet, you can just completely shield your child from stuff that you don't want them asking for.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in Manly, and we didn't even know there was a Manly rugby league team until we were, like, 9. And it was, like, too late. We were, like, so heavily indoctrinated to follow South.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, if they were on the telly, Dad would just, like, turn it off.
That's great.
He had that power, you know? Like, you're sort of controlling their world.
You don't want to tempted by this evil.
Exactly.
Evil eagle.
And these gadget blokes as well. I feel like a hallmark of a gadget bloke is guys who've ever owned, like, you know, when GPSs first came on the scene.
Oh, yes.
First bloke with the Garmin in the car.
Yeah. If you've got a TomTom somewhere in your... you got a TomTom stored deep in a box with a box full of all these ancient cords and a TomTom.
Yeah.
That's a gadget guy.
You are a gadget guy.
Yeah.
And you guys who like got the watch to match it, but
before
it was easy, you know, like they're like plug the watch into the computer and like reloading and uploading.
Yeah, to keep it synced up.
Having an old those bricks that would somehow sit on the car.
Yeah.
Just like destroying your entire battery through the cigarette
plug. Yeah.
If you left that on, your car is flat within 10 minutes in a shopping centre car park.
Also, they'd be like turning it on like to go to the shops around the corner, like same shops they've gone to for like 37 years.
Like, turn right.
Just makes it so easy. I didn't even tell it to do that.
Yeah.
The Garmin goes straight through the 80 subwoofers in the boot as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Bashing the finger on it. No.
Gadget guys were all, they were early adopters of like the Roomba and stuff like that as well. Like any like,
oh my God.
Anything that like makes shit easier around the home.
It maps it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? It's good. Yeah. It's good, mate.
Yeah. Their kids always had like the latest console. So that's always a nightmare when you go around there. You can tell the parents are like, you don't need a, no. Come on, mate.
Dude, 100%. I had an IT wood teacher or like a, I don't know what you call it here, but you know, the woodwork teacher.
Yep.
And every year he would like, this is also, I guess, back when it was a bit more exclusive as far as Apple products and stuff. And he would like line up at the store at like midnight for 9 a.m. the next morning. One of those guys, like full take leave for it.
Yeah.
Where's Mr. Manning? Oh, the fucking 12's out. Yeah. Like,
Meanwhile, that. Meanwhile, his students are fucking going to town on the bandsaw with some substitute that has no control.
Yeah, the religion substitute is just letting folks go nuts on the disc sander.
Yeah, while he's getting the first iPod Touch.
I think I've told you on the podcast before about my woodwork teacher that would just disappear for like 6 months. Would just come, open the classroom up, and then just fucking leave for like the whole lesson, for like half the year. We'd just have free reign in like four workshops, two metalwork, two woodwork, because we could just walk through.
And as I think we discussed at the time, maybe the worst possible classes for a teacher to just not be present.
100%. We had the lathes going. The fucking. I remember we had like a bit of wood on the lathe one day, and we had the bottles of that white glue. And we're on the other side of the room. We're throwing the glue bottles at the lathe, and it would hit the wood and just like explode all over the fucking shop.
Yeah.
We would jump out the window and like smoke cigarettes in the garden. It was great.
Yeah, that's great. That's teaching, you know, that's
life skills.
That's teaching life skills. That's teaching independence.
Yeah. What our manual arts teachers were fucking wild. They'd smoke cigarettes in the workshops during lunch. They'd keep you on detention, and then they'd all just be standing like across the other side of the workshop. Just smoking durries.
Oh, good they went
with like the
other
exhaust
side.
Fan on.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sick. We had I was gonna say, we had an art teacher, and she was like quite strict. She always say, "Get rid of it." That would be her thing. That was like her catchphrase.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. And then there was a tradie working at the school, like putting up a new retaining wall, and he was like, "Oh, what? Your art teacher? Like, why was that, eh?" But he's like, "Yeah, I'm banging her." And then like, and he would just tell us the wildest sexual stuff about her. Like, we were in year eight, so we were like, "Yeah, this is crazy, dude. Like,
what is this rogue tradie even doing?" So. Get him out of the... Don't let him have any contact with the students.
And it was such like a small job at the school. Like, he was only there for like 2 weeks. Like,
he's dragged out, like, not knocking up a bit of retaining wall for 6 months.
Also, this tradie, I want to paint a bit more of a picture. You know, like, three-quarter rip curl board shorts, half sleeve, you know, surfy guy.
Yeah.
He was an absolute... Yeah, he was a soldier.
If anything, it's a miracle he wasn't fucking a year 12 girl.
Yeah.
It's incredible that
he was
fucking
like
a
teacher. Now, did he start knocking her off like after he started the job, or do you think he got the job?
No, afterwards.
Yeah, right.
Afterwards,
Nice.
So he'd obviously met her like at the school. I don't know if he was allowed access to the lunchroom. I would think no.
Yeah.
But
he made his move somewhere.
I'd love
that he did it. Like, if his whole motivation to do it was just to like tell you guys about it.
Well, to be honest, like you couldn't ask for a better audience than me and my three mates. Like, he'd be like, "Yeah, this happened." We'd be like, "Wow,
like, you're the coolest guy ever. Keep telling us 13-year-old boys about sex."
Not only had this bloke had sex, but we knew the woman he was having sex with. So he's just so far ahead of any yarn we'd ever heard until that point. A couple of the blokes had claimed to have rooted, but, you know, there was nothing behind it.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy, it was so credible. You know?
Yeah,
100%. Just the credibility.
Oh, that's thrilling. That's awesome.
yeah, as soon as I'd nut, I'd, you know, I'd take the condom off and she'd go, get rid of it.
Now that's sick.
But
really
also
nice.
It was a boys' school as well, so we were pretty revved up, you know.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you guys go to boys' schools or co-ed?
I was co-ed.
You went to
a boys' school.
What are your thoughts on the boys' school, Huey? Because I actually think, I'm not too sure I see the benefits.
No.
This idea that not having girls around keeps blokes calmer. Like, Rowan has a great joke about it. It just turns the school into like a prison.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like the blokes were just such psychos because there was no girls around.
Yeah. I mean, that, I don't know if we really got into it, but that story about that boys' school in Sydney turning co-ed, some of the best television
I've
seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just
holy
these old
shit.
Boys out like the front in tears. That was unbelievably good.
But, yeah, so they were turning co-ed and just to burst into tears.
Yeah.
You just tell me without telling me you haven't faced a real problem in 25 years.
Absolutely.
Because you can't be, like, I understand maybe you're mildly upset about this, but you can't be, like, viscerally crying on Channel 9.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right, exactly. How can you give a fuck about that yeah. at all?
Like, it couldn't have been a more hectic time with Gaza stuff as well. And they're just and they're just interrupting that for these guys holding a picket line. Fucking boys' school potentially going co-ed. Unreal.
And also, like, they were talking about, like, oh, you know, the traditions. But the reality is, I'd say their grandson or whoever they want to get in is probably, you know, on the bottom end of yeah. of the spectrums of ability, both athletically and academically.
Yeah.
And once the girls take up half the spots, all of a sudden,
yeah,
this
yeah.
kid getting 40% at his primary school is probably not making the list.
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, it is funny because not that I know. Or private schools and stuff. But you sort of know about all the... And I was like, I've never heard of this one. So there's probably a reason
it's Newington. It's one of the most like prestigious in Sydney.
Yeah, right.
Probably like top five most expensive, but...
Oh, it's awesome. The one that was like... there was an old guy bursting into tears about the theoretical grandson he doesn't have yet. And it's like, fuck, this is awesome.
So sick. Just, it's like...
And if I have a grandson, God willing... Yeah. And he would have to go to a co-ed school. It's like, brother.
Yeah.
But also, like, keep that energy if your granddaughter's school was to change co-ed.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know he wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Are you going to be picketing outside St. Margaret's? Are we going to be keeping the same energy?
Yeah.
Because you know mum's not coming down.
Yeah.
Mum doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, it was awesome. I mean, even meaner with that they drag some of the kids... to get a statement from them, like the year 12s. Yeah. A, what are you doing? And B, my Lord, imagine just that footage haunting you forever.
Yeah.
Every time you meet someone, oh, you're the guy that like hates chicks? Oh, I'm scared of girls at your school, mate. Oh.
Damo's on the news to saying he doesn't want girls around.
Yeah.
God, can you imagine some of the slurs going around on the bus that day?
Oh, my God.
Dear God. But, dude, I think the thing with these older blokes is, like, they just get too wrapped up in the word legacy.
Yeah.
You know? The word legacy is just absolutely supercharged these cunts.
Yeah.
To the point where they've, like, painted up a sign at home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They still get the newsletter. They're the sort of guys... These are, like, the dictionary definition of the guys that don't miss a first 15 game.
Oh,
8 years after they finish school. Like, going down to check how the rugby program's going. You'd want to be pushing it max to see one schoolboy rugby game every 4 years, I reckon. If you went to a school any more than that, it's like... Because I think one reunion we did was like we just had a barbecue or something and got pissed and then watched the first and we were just at the back just like hammered like, you fuck it. So that was pretty good. But you don't want to be doing that every day.
Every year, yeah.
Every year, just like your whole fucking life defends like it's the, you know... NRL,
also, you should be free. You should not be free, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday afternoons.
No, you should
find something to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't be like driving 2 hours away to follow the first everywhere. Like,
going to away games is another level.
Going to first away games.
Oh, what are you doing this Saturday, mate? Oh, no, my old school's playing Toowoomba Grammar, so better get up there. Maybe I can sneak a seat on the bus if it's all going up. Fucking hell.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. Like, I think I would want to send my children to a private school, but it'll obviously be financially dependent. Like it won't keep me up at night if I can't afford to.
Yeah.
I think I don't think it really matters so much where your kid goes to school.
No. Nah.
I think co-ed is healthier though.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know, but I just reckon the single sex, I don't know what the benefits were. Like one time I was going to my locker in year 8 and one of the blokes, you know those roofs where it's like sort of panels of sort of fibrous wood?
Mm. Yeah.
And you sort of push them up. One of the blokes took one out and just dropped it on my head so hard. I was very heavily concussed.
Mm.
And I just think if there was a group of girls there, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, he's seen something on similar on the wrestling that night.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. No one's pretending to be the Undertaker in front of the hottest chicks in the year.
a few rogue stuff. Yeah, like we went through a phase of you know, you just sort of sit wherever at school, and any time a kid would like walk through you a little bit, you'd take it in turns to. We call it urban rodeo, and you just jump on it. Like, you try and get a particularly big year 9 boy or whatever, and they got a bit of buck in them. You see how long you can last. But yeah, I doubt we're doing that if there's girls around.
Yeah.
Mate, were you a fan of Balls of Steel back in the day by any chance? No. Nedge and the Urban Rodeo?
Oh, gosh. What was Balls of Steel?
Oh, it was a show where a guy did
that. Oh, right. That's who
that was his segment. Oh, right. Reese Nicholson was actually on that show.
Oh, that yeah.
I can't remember what his segment was. But yeah, he was on there. Yeah, it must be like 2010 or something.
Yeah,
I remember loving Balls of Steel.
Yeah, yeah.
That Nedge guy, he would just do that where he would just jump on blokes.
Yeah,
dude. And just hold on for as long as he can. It's fucking unbelievable. I don't know if they'd be green lighting that in 2024.
Yeah.
Definitely not on Channel 7.
No.
Probably more of a YouTube project these days.
Yeah, that could be a pretty successful TikTok channel.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So that was Gadget Guys. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Trying to think of other good gadgets that I loved it, like a bit of tech that was almost like I love a bit of tech that goes sort of that's irrelevant almost as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, something that shines bright and goes like the Blu-ray or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Blu-ray. Yeah.
Even
great.
The DVD, like it was only a few years. I think it seems like more of a fixture because it was like the DVD came into being like when I was first watching movies and stuff, but like it's really a flash in the pan.
Dude, honestly, any bloke who had a Blu-ray player in the first 6 months they were out should be on a list.
Yeah. It's crisp. It's crisp.
And you're like pretending to notice the difference.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it looks good, mate.
The sound is deeper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyone that had like early days surround sound.
Oh, like, surround sound.
Just like 8 fucking these huge cords everywhere. Just all set up to only like be perfect for one bloke's lazy boy right in the center where he's just like, oh.
Her dad's chair, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. Dude, also another one. I don't know. This isn't really another one, but just looking back at how blown away we were in like the mid 2000s when they were like ultra HD. You'd be like, your eyes would be like popping out of your skull. You're like, holy shit, dude, they've got a new one. Whereas now it comes out like 8K cameras. You're like, we get it. I can see it. And we've been able to see it for about the last 5 versions. Everything after 1080p.
I think it's
fine.
Sometimes they crank, like, it's so high that it looks weird. You're like, I can tell that this is super high res because it looks weird, but like, it doesn't look.
Everyone's floating.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
I remember in the LimeWire days, like, downloading stuff off the internet.
Yeah.
You know, start of the month with the internet. That, remember when, like, you had a finite amount of internet for the month?
Yeah.
You go, oh, June 1st, for season 9 of How I Met Your Mother, here we come.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I remember I've got, get this into your dad. I've downloaded the full season in 1080p, which is like, I don't know, like the whole month's internet.
Yeah.
And I remember I hit play on the first episode and it was so crisp and so clear. I immediately just looked at the bar and was like, this isn't a real bar. I could just tell it was a set. It
ruined it for you.
I could see like the cardboard and stuff. I was like, oh, this isn't real at all.
Yeah.
It was like too clear, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
720 was like honestly the best thing of all time.
Yeah, 720 actually fucking ruled because it was like high enough quality to watch. You knew it was going to be good and it downloaded quickly.
You're 100%.
That 720. Heaps of sources for it. You're laughing.
Yeah, because when the alternative was 240p, it was like, fuck, maybe we should get a Blu-ray. Blu-ray player because I can't tell which square is tech.
Yeah.
But now it's ridiculous. I'm so sick of like in the comedy space, like camera people are always like bragging about their 4K cameras.
Mm.
They're like, mate, I'll film your show, whatever. This the rates. 4K, mate. 4K. It's like, it's all good. It's all good stuff, you know? Like, every camera is 4K
now. Yeah.
I don't even know. I wouldn't be able to spot 4K if my life depended on it.
Oh, sick. I can't wait to fucking have to download a terabyte for a 5-minute spot of me bombing. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. I can't wait to see every bead of sweat on my head as I fucking tank this gig.
Make sure I look pockmarked as hell, brother.
Dude, also, some people, it'll be like 6K cameras, but they overlook the audio. So it's like, sweet, you've just got an absolutely high definition to the bullshit, just a 6K bomb.
Yeah.
Like, you can't understand a word coming out of my
mouth. The audio's plugged into the box.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear you breathing on the mic more than a laugh.
Yeah.
Like, the only laughs are the ones getting through the mic.
Dude. Yeah.
Oh, that is torturous when you get
that
footage.
Comedy Zone ones that they filmed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's terrifying.
But the other thing as well is sometimes you actually do well in the room. Yeah. Right? I'm not bragging openly, but sometimes you think you've done well in the room, you download the 6K, you know, you hotspot the phone, fucking speed this up a bit.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh man, it sounds like I'm eating shit. And
yeah.
Then
oh,
you just delete.
Absolutely.
It's ruined. Yeah.
Absolutely.
12 gigs I'll never get back.
Yeah.
Dude, there's so many comedy rooms now. And it's super helpful as well. But like, you feel bad when someone's taken the time to cut up your set and send it to you.
Yeah,
and it's like,
oh,
I should have just given you a wave on the night that I ate shit and I never want to be reminded that this ever happened.
Give me an opt-out option, please.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's great. Fuck, it's awesome.
Hey, there seems to be more gigs in Sydney that film.
A few of them do. Do they not film in Melbourne?
There might be a few, but I don't think it's like...
There's only a couple in Sydney, really. Yeah. There's one standout comedy that films that's like really good. But apart from that, there's a couple of Skinner's gigs film, but it's not that big of a thing.
Yep.
You'd still want to just...
I'm always thinking about doing it here, but then I'm like, oh, but then what?
There's more work for you.
So, the thing with filming is that... Yeah, it is
Wii
more
transfer?
Work.
What's Wii transfer?
Yeah.
Get an account? Dropbox?
It can be good for the room, because if you like a clip goes viral on the Cooper's Inn page,
yeah.
A few
with
ticket
the
sales.
Fucking neon in the background.
Yeah, I have to fucking adjust the neon. This is right behind
it. Oh, yeah.
Really get it in there. It's all. Anyway, talking a bit of shop on the pod.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk too much shop.
Yeah.
That was the perfect dose, mate.
Unless it's, you know, wood workshop.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Bring that up again.
What about another type of bloke? Speaking of gadgets, this is like kind of a sports gadget one. Blokes who are like all about skins and power bands.
Yeah.
But just sort of on the high school rugby theme still.
Yeah.
You know, blokes who had like the $400 skins. This is also when skins were like $400.
Yeah.
Then they had the $150
power
bands.
In the 13 C's.
Yeah.
This will change it all.
Yeah.
This will get the ace coach to notice.
Yeah.
Dude, 100%. Yeah.
I played in the era. I don't know if it really got across the league. But of rugby tech gloves. Did you ever have the so they'd be like fingerless gloves, you know, like, but they'd have grip on them.
Yeah.
And it's like one or two guys from the Reds had them. And then you just see this epidemic of it in under 14 rugby.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Well, I get, here's the thing is you want to wear it just for the aesthetics.
Yeah.
But it's almost unethical from the companies to like make them so expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because
it's just like a fucking wetsuit, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Wetsuit and a bit of rubber.
Yeah.
It's like, $80.
And it was always felt like a lot of the least athletic blokes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, blokes are like, it helps keep you warm, but also cools you down. It's like, Damo, you skip preseason.
Yeah. You're coming off the bench.
Yeah, the skins can only do so much, mate.
I'll tell you, to wrap these two types of guys together, I'll tell you what combines them. And that is owning a Strava account.
Big time.
Yeah,
guys clocking their runs. That's the perfect combination of obsessed with having all the latest equipment and being into tech.
Yeah.
And exercise.
A few lads with the Whoops on.
Yeah.
The Whoop watches.
Yeah.
Tracks your recovery. You sleep well last night, did you, mate?
The power band.
Yeah. Garmin carried these blokes from the fucking early days of GPS through to Strava now. The Garmin watch.
Yeah, Garmin had them covered.
Yeah.
What sort of bloke would fall into the category of the blokes who are currently doing these run clubs? Do you guys have run clubs in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very popular in Sydney.
They on their face value, that's you can tell that's more of a Sydney thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? A little bit suspect on these blokes.
Yeah, more into the, you know.
But no, it definitely happens here. It seems very much like something, like when I see a run club, I always look at it as if like that's something some other cunt does. Like I don't get it.
I see the benefits of them, but it's also like, okay.
Well, so it's rock sort up of first thing like, in the morning and talk to a bunch of fucking strangers that are into running.
Other people that would be in a run club, you know?
Yeah. Well, now in Sydney, it's become like a dating thing. People go there a bit of a dating option. Yeah.
Well, that's probably the only reason. If I'm ever at a run club, if I ever go, oh yeah, I'll be there a bit later, man, I've just got to go to run club, it's because I'm trying to get laid. That's the only reason I reckon.
I don't know. Like, I just think like striking out while also being puffed out would just be so degrading. Oh. Like, I need to either, if I was to join a run club for dating purposes, I would either need to like get way better at like rizzing chicks up or whatever, or get way fitter. My current fitness and chat levels are just not strong enough to do both at the same time. I need to pick one.
There's got
to
be a crazy, like crazy small finite area where like that is achievable. Like if you're such a good runner that you're smoking all these people and then like trying to jog on the strut and be like, hey, yeah, so what do you people are like, this fuckwit. And then, but if you're like a, like if I tried to pick up at a run and I'm just hoofing away at the back, vaping it halfway and being like,
at the end, just another second. One second.
That's working almost marketing.
That's almost more lovable, though.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
like, how cute would it be if ever, like, there's ones where it's called like a run and rump, where they'll do like a run and then everyone meets at the pub after, and there's like a steak deal at the pub.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like if everyone's eating their steak outside the pub and Huey comes trotting in, like 20 minutes after everyone else, I feel like that's fucking adorable.
Fuck me, Dan.
That's underdog vibes.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the pickleball place we go. I think it has a singles night now, and that's very similar. Like, if you're a bloke just pumping these girls in pickleball, being like, yeah, you want to work on your back end, sweetheart? Like, trying to pick up. You don't want to be too good.
So what do they do, mixed pickleball? And
I don't know. Look, I haven't been. We're always trying to make Keeney go. a bit of a stitch up. But, yeah, it's intriguing, to say the least.
I guess they just probably swap around. I guess
you just swap around.
Speed dating, but you're playing pickleball at the same time.
Yeah, bit of fun.
I went and played pool on a date recently, a few weeks ago, and I accidentally just like smoked her. I wasn't trying to, but I had a few real lucky shots, and I just like nearly fucking pantsed her, just accidentally. Yeah. I was like,
well, you have to do a nudie cool. run now. Yeah. You have to.
Oh, well, next round's on you. Yes, I'm making the jump to spirits.
Yeah. Go get another $2. Yeah. We're playing again.
Yeah.
The Woolies is still open. You can get any type of money out of their self-serve. Dude, I will say, this is just a complete aside here, but being able to pay for pool with the card now.
Oh, that's crazy.
Have you guys got that?
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, it's swept Sydney, dude, and it's fucking unbelievable.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Also, it stops blokes putting the gold coin down, giving you a bit of side eye.
Yeah.
The
politics around
I understand like how the coin thing works, but it is very politic and it's very weird. Like, it's always weird vibes when there's some cunt lingering around and there's a few coins there.
And then the sort of dance where you're just wanting to play with a few friends, but they sort of do the, so we won, do you guys want to play? It's like, no, can you just fuck off?
Yeah.
It's like we sort of hold the table. And like,
teams?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, come on, mate.
And also, there's
we're shit. We're just killing. We need an activity while we're not, so we're not drinking in silence again for another 25. Just a sweet little activity to get away with while
you're
drinking.
Yeah, we've just done 2.5 hours in the beer garden.
Yeah.
And we'd like to just have a 20-minute break before we return to the beer garden.
Yeah. I don't need to hear about it. I don't want to hear about where you got your own pool cue, mate.
Yeah.
They've got a little case. You're like, okay, this could be tough to get.
I don't
want to
hear how often you play here.
Sometimes it ruins the game as well when, like, you know, the game's not a very good game and sometimes it's going a little bit long and you got these 37-year-old blokes milling around going, oh, another miss.
Yeah, exactly. Is mortifying.
And you're on like a first date or something and, you know, Caitlin hasn't hit a coloured ball again. And you're like, all right, babe, we're on the waters till you switch on a bit here because this could be car park stuff if we don't finish this up soon.
Oh, yeah.
Can we get my girl a Red Bull?
Yeah.
Nothing like a silent eyebrow raise from the fucking the pool sharks in the background when you've missed one in the, that's it's like on the pocket.
Sorry, brother. I know you want to play pool, but I haven't had sex in 3 months. Yeah. So I can assure you the stakes are a little higher for me.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, oh, we got a little bit longer. Yeah. No, sorry about that.
No, that's all right, mate.
I'm just...
How long do we have to go, mate? You looked a little disappointed there, Huey.
No. Oh, no, not. I wish we could go.
I feel
forever.
Like one more type of bloke and we will absolutely cruise
We've
home.
This.
Yeah. Well, we just touched on like pool blokes. They are like, there is a certain kind of bloke who is like more a pool shark.
Yeah.
But they're more annoying than anything. It's like you said, they're always just like there watching you like.
Yeah. I'd like to one day get properly hustled, you know, just one time. Like, we just don't have it, you know. To be fair, I watched The Color of Money recently, and I'm like, this seems good. This seems exciting.
That is very cool, yeah. I read Amarillo Slim's book, and...
give us a rundown on
Sorry, have you guys heard of this guy?
No.
So he's a poker player.
I'm
going to
guess what he's...
He's a pool hustler from, like, the 60s, or, like, the 50s and the 60s, and a poker player. Yeah. And, dude, so he's got, like... He would just make crazy money hustling pool. But there was a whole thing to it where you would have to... you know, lose the first couple of games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sort of spend money to make money.
Yeah.
But he had a couple of...
Amarillo Slim.
Yeah, but he had
I mean, there ain't much else he was going to do in life,
yeah,
was there?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's sort of at birth, you're going to be a poker player and pool shark.
Coolest guy ever. And he would also do these crazy prop bets. So, like, he said to this billionaire guy, I bet you, like, 200K that I can hit a golf ball 500 yards.
Mm.
I think the most, like, the best professional on the planet can hit it is, like, 400 or something.
Yeah.
It's well beyond what any human on the planet can hit a ball.
Yeah.
And he said, I need time to practice, and I get to pick the location.
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes, no worries, 200 grand whenever you want it. And he sort of ran in these circles where there'd be, like, millionaires, you know, into this sort of stuff. He goes, all right, mate. He calls him up 6 months later, and he goes, brother, 500 yards, we're on. Meet me in Colorado at this place. They meet him at a frozen lake, right? He absolutely melts the ball off the tee, like 250 yards. It hits the ice and goes like another 600 off the bench. It goes like 1,000 yards.
And that then, fucking rules.
Yeah. And then, like, there's another one where he goes, he was like a really good ping pong player.
Yeah.
And so they fly in this.
This is the sort of guy that would be a nightmare at these sort of modern places, a.k.a. Baller's Clubhouse.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's everyone's trying to have fun on a date. They got the shuffleboard, they got the ping pong, and this guy's here trying to shark.
Yeah, he's sharking them on every single game they've got in the fucking place.
Well, also, I think it was back when, you know, women didn't really go to bars and stuff. So it was just, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of like deviant men hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's looking for a bit of something.
Yeah.
Something to take the edge off. Yeah. it's like, you're on a second date. This bloke's, what do you reckon, 200 a hole? It's like, brother, leave me alone. But another one where they brought in this Chinese bloke, like the Chinese ping pong champion.
Yeah.
And Amarillo Slim goes to watch him play and goes, mate, I reckon I could totally beat you. And he goes like, yeah, 200 grand or whatever. But I need 6 months to practice and I get to pick the rackets.
Great. Anyway, I like this little...
Yeah.
I like the caveat
every time.
Yeah. So then he comes back and he comes back, you know, 6 months later or whatever, and the Chinese guy's all warmed up and he's ready to go. And then Amarillo Slim goes, all right, mate, I'll just grab the rackets and we'll be ready to go. And he pulls out two, like, weird skillet fry pans and just absolutely murders the best ping pong player in the world with these fry pans. Like,
unreal
stuff like that. Yeah, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think these days people would just be like, you'd see the guy on Instagram or something.
Yeah,
no one can keep anything to themselves now.
Oh god, he'd actually be the it's like that. This era, king, awesome. In the modern era, he'd be one of those guys that does trick shots, you know, how there's like just 14 hours of trying to flick a card through a balloon for them to be like, yo, let's go.
Yeah. It'd be a TikTok channel now.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a guy that tries to, roll eight balls over, you know, like impossible pool shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, take me back to the hustle days, you know. We need to get these guys on the tables.
Are you guys a bit of a pig for like a pool or a poker movie?
Yeah.
You know, like 21 or something where they're counting cards?
All that.
Some bloke with a photographic memory, counting cards, hook that to my veins.
Yeah.
Love a bit of that.
100%.
I think my Italian granddad used to shark a bit in Brisbane because he used to be a really good cyclist, apparently. And he'd have like a shitty bike he'd roll around on.
Yeah, I get to pick and the bikes.
Yeah, and then but then he'd do like, okay. And he'd do like to the Gold Coast and then just get out his good Melbourne Star and like smoke these Aussie guys. Because he's like, I guess like in Italy, he just rode bikes his whole life up mountains and shit.
Yeah.
So it's like so, it's like, I mean, a lot, bit of effort for a, you know, $100 bet, but yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah. It's about mugging the bloke off as well.
It's about the dub more than about the
money. Cyclist, is that a type of bloke you guys have discussed previously?
Not in full. Yeah,
almost hiding in plain sight.
Yeah, and I feel like that. You know, they do cop so much. It's like, I guess it's some of it's warranted, but it is like, it's always right there. It's like, ah. It's almost crazy to be the guy that's so mad at the concept of a cyclist. Like, they're an almost more exciting type of bloke.
Yeah.
Oh, me, mate? Someone I would run him over.
Yeah, someone who's, like actually triggered by a cyclist. Yeah, is it?
Like, you see those Facebook videos or whatever, and it's like, you know, some guy. It's like, who's in the wrong here? It's just a car going straight into a cyclist. It's like a guy just in a bike lane in a car, just like, and they're like, these fucking cyclists, this fuckwit stuff. It's like, oh. Yeah, the guy's completely T-boned.
But like, what is it about the cyclists where, do you think it's more of a generational thing? Like over 40s hate cyclists more than under 40s?
Yeah, but then they also are some of the most painful cyclists.
Well, they are the
cyclists. Yeah, I think it's like a really like strong case of just boomer infighting.
Yeah.
It's like a really, like, it's
one
too...
One of their rare civil wars.
Yeah,
have.
Exactly.
Dude, if you do a joke like, oh, mate, you know, I'm trying to think of some hack cyclist joke, but if you do some, like, hack cyclist joke at an RSL in Sydney... Dude, bodies will hit the floor.
Yeah. It'll register on the Richter scale.
It's probably a like suburban versus city boomer.
Yeah.
It might be a suburban thing, yeah. But of all the activities to tell the missus, like, yeah, I'm not around on Saturday. I'm going up to the Central Coast and back with the lads.
Yeah, in my tights.
It is insane. Just taking over a fucking cafe.
I think a lot of the front line of it would be on the highways. The caravans versus the cyclists, you know? Like two of the most annoying cunts on the fucking road.
Yeah, there's no winners in these.
It's a battle of fucking, of the worst.
But I think really, if you're on the roads for more than like 2 hours at a time regularly, you're probably just going to hate your life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Truckies, exactly. Cyclists, caravans, like...
Yeah, it's like... I don't get the huge hate about like a guy that gets to work by riding a bike in a bike lane, but I understand the hatred of like huge groups of middle-aged blokes thinking they're in the Tour de France, taking up a fucking lane on the highway.
And also, it's the optics of like, yeah, what's the bike 6,000? What are the fucking cleats? Yeah, there's another 800.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a rich guy thing as well.
Yeah, true.
100%.
If you saw some bloke out there in a fucking Manly Sea Eagles training shirt from 2007, and some old helmet on a Huffy on the M4, exactly. You'd be like, get out of this bloke's way.
On Huey's old Melbourne Star.
Yeah, or the ultimate, like a guy in Hy-Vis. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah, well,
he's been done.
Yeah, that's it.
Got the belt.
A bloke in Hy-Vis, he'll only be cycling for another 6 months.
Yeah.
Until he gets the card back.
Yeah. He's somehow trying to fucking cycle with a... With a fucking, full tool belt on him somehow.
Yeah.
Fuck it, L.
Right. Well, thanks for joining us, Billy.
Thanks, lads. Appreciate it. Is this coming out? When's this coming out? Next week or something? This week?
That'll be this week.
Yeah, we'll try and put it up as soon as possible.
We'll bang this one up.
Well, I'm at the Coopers Inn all weekend, so come on down.
Yep.
Tickets are pretty reasonable and the show's pretty good, so it's a good double there. And I'm doing a national tour this year, so any listeners who might want to come around, I'm whipping around the whole country after next week, Perth, Brisbane, all the capital cities. Come on out.
Yeah, come do the double. Come see Billy at 7 and then come see Feedenbrough at 8:10 this Saturday.
Oh, that's a tasty night out.
What a night
Cooper's
out.
In. And then hang around after, out. Mate. You'll never know hang who around. You'll see.
Yeah. Just be a presence.
There could be anyone here at the Cooper's Inn.
It's all happening.
So thanks for joining us, Bill. Thanks, Huey.
Oh, and very quickly, come to the live show and then the Saturday after 11:30, one show only, Big Huey's Footy Show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Come along to those shows. Until next week.
Keep them up. beautiful.